I think of me and Shelly. She's my type of hype and I can't stand when brothers tell me that I should quit chasing and look for something better. But the smile that she shows makes me a go-getter. I haven't gone as far as asking if I could get with her. I just play her by ear and hope she gets the picture. I'm shooting for her heart, got my finger on the trigger. She can be my broad and I can be her, and I can be her. All I can do is say back as kids we used to kiss when we played through the day. Now she's more sophisticated, highly educated, not at all overrated. I think I need a prayer to get in a book, and it looks rather dry. I guess a twinkle in her eye is just a twinkle in her eye. Although she's crazy stepping, I'll try and stop the stride, cause I won't have no more of this passing me by.
Time for me to voice my opinion, can't be pretending she didn't have me. Sprung like a chicken, chasing my tail like a doggy. She was kind of like a star, thinking I was like a fan. Damn, she looked good. Downside, she had a man. He was a Rudy too. A nick and poop. She told me soon your little birdie's gonna fly the coop. She was a flake like corn, and I was born not to understand. But let the past, I proved to be a better man.
Ethiopian, and now the world around me begins moving in slow motion whenever she happens to walk by. Why does the apple of my eye overlook and disregard my feelings no matter how much I try? Wait, no, I did not really pursue my little princess with persistence, and I was so low-key that she was unaware of my existence. From a distance I designed her, secretly admired her, wired her a letter to get her. And it was, my dear, my dear, my dear, you do not know me, but I know you very well. Now let me tell you about the feelings I've been for you when I tried or make some sort of attempt. I simp. Damn, I wish I wasn't such a wimp, cause then I would let you know that I love you so, and if I was your man, then I would be true. The only lie
minute I would do is in the bed with you. Valentine's and Jill is the one who loves you dearly. P.S. love me tender. But the letter came back 3 days later. Returned to sender.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Anik MF, and you are listening to It Could All Be So Simple on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm very excited to be here with y'all. I have a guest in the studio, Fimo Mitchell. What's up?
How you doing? I'm good.
Good, good. I'm super happy to have you here to talk about what you do. I want to say a happy Black History Month to everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Family Day. I think there's, what are the other, I think I covered all the main holidays in this month. Is there anything else you want, that you're celebrating these days?
Happy every day. I don't really know the holidays that well.
happy every day to everyone. We're here with you. Very excited to be here with you on this lovely Friday, almost the end of the month. Fimo, do you want to present yourself to everyone?
Hi, I'm Fimo, and I'm born here. I was born here and raised here, and then I left at some point
for
16
time.
Years. Yeah, lived in China for 16 years, 16 long years, and came back last summer. And so it's nice to be home. I mean, this is my city. So it's good to be home. But at times I do miss traveling.
But you've still been traveling, no? Doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'm a very curious person. And I think that's what probably led me into wanting to be a journalist when I was young. And so I always want to go and see for myself, because I never trust someone else's opinion or what someone else says. So, there's a lot of places I want to go to, and there's some other places that are on my no-fly zone, but we're not going to discuss that.
that's not the type of talk that we're having today. for those of you who have never listened to It Could All Be So Simple, It Could All Be So Simple is a monthly radio show about everyday relationships with ourselves, with others, partners, as well as family members, children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason I wanted to bring Fimo in today is because Fimo is there like a specific word for that, like a mindfulness practitioner or meditation? Is there a word for?
I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with, I guess I never really introduced myself as a mindfulness coach or
whatever. Exactly.
I just say I invite people to sit with me and breathe.
Yes.
And
so
that's sort of what I do. Yeah,
exactly.
That sounds weird, but
no, I think that's great. That's great. I mean, out of context, that could definitely sound weird, but in context, it's definitely cool. And Fimo has been part of the Black Mental Wellness Week that we were having at Concordia, and we did a mindful meditation workshop. And Fimo has his own. Can you describe We Are Home to everyone?
Oh, We Are Home is a meditation center, very small. And it's a place where people come and meditate, share. And I always say this to people who come that, in life, you can't really stop the waves from coming. So you better learn how to surf. And so We Are Home is kind of like, surfing school in a way. Because the waves are going to keep coming, but at least you can accept the fact that there's waves, and you learn how to deal and cope with healthy coping mechanisms and strategies.
I like that.
Because very often, especially in our community, and not just in our community, but in talking about us, I feel like we go to other stuff, that is quite destructive. So I look at We Are Home as being an alternative to that. I like where it's going. It's in the early stages still, but I like where it's going. So it's exciting.
That's really dope. Can you tell us a little bit about, we're going to get like further deeper into this later in the show, but a general kind of, what is it that you encourage people to nurture in terms of a relationship? Like, if we think about it as a relationship, is it, are you starting from a relationship with yourselves? Is it like a relationship with breath? Is it a relationship with people? Like, how do you, where's the seed in what you end up doing?
I think, I don't want to get into the concept of self because I can go down a whole road and I'm not quite sure if the self in terms of small self actually exists. I'm not sure, people. I'm not sure.
So there's questions. There's those questions out there.
I'm not sure. And so everything for me is an experience, right? Like this here in this moment is an experience. And so what I encourage people to do is to be present in each moment so that when you're present, you're able to tap into all those wonderful things that makes you human. One of which is empathy, one of which is compassion. And, you know, and I think a lot of times what happens is it's not that we're mean as people. I mean, some people are just mean, yes. But I think for the most part, we're on autopilot and we're going through our days. We're running through our days. If we got kids, we're telling them, again, we're rushing our kids around. We're doing this. We're rushing. We're doing all these things. And we're not noticing the things that are happening in each moment. We don't pause to be present. And I think for me, I just encourage people to pause, breathe, and know that you're breathing, and just experience that sense of being for a moment. Because we are called human beings, but I feel like we should be called human doers because we're really good at doing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when people say, I'm going to have a chill night, they're still with Netflix. You're not being.
Mm.
You're still listening to music. No. When I mean be, I mean just be with yourself. And I realized through the years, because I started teaching meditation, like mindfulness, to teachers and students in China, and so a lot of foreign schools, so a lot of expat teachers, right? And I started noticing how teachers were resisting this idea. Well, yeah, I have me time. We call it me time, right? I just get a good book. I'm like, even when you're with your book, you're not with yourself.
Mm.
You know, and listen, I'm reading now. I read all the time. But it's something to be said. Can you be with yourself and just start with your breath? Because your breath will never be the same in any other moment than it is right now. So I guess I encourage presence, because through presence, if you're present, it eliminates the opportunity to even have all these prejudices at times. You know, because if you're present, oh, wait a minute, I can actually feel you.
Hmm.
I actually see with beginner's eyes, with fresh eyes, you know, so there's something that happens when a person is present. And, you know, I don't teach anything that I'm not working on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's a large part of my practice. How present can I be in my life? You know, so, yeah, I think.
That gives us I like that. So a relationship with presence or being like learning to be really essentially is
kind of right.
where the root of what you do.
Yeah. And for people to see how powerful their attention is. You know, we live in a world now where everyone's vying for your attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
People in Silicon Valley, Madison Avenue, well, traditionally Madison Avenue, spend a lot of money trying to get your eyeballs on their product, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We give our attention away so willy-nilly, right? We just, what would happen if you gave that attention to yourself, to the
mm-hmm.
people you love?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? And when people experience that, like, go inward and pay attention to the subtleties of your body. Your body is the greatest source of information.
Mm.
You know, far more intelligent than whatever book you can read. Or, you know, but we don't identify our bodies being like majestically, immensely like intelligent, right? We don't see it that way. But I think if people was to not, don't take my word for it, just sit with yourself for a while, you know, and I think you experience something, and that something is something you can cultivate every day. And I think the closer you grow within yourself, you also grow with everyone else. I know this sounds corny, but at the end of the day, if I'm growing closer to me, I'm going to grow closer to everyone around me as well, because I recognize that energy, that whatever word you want to put on it, that frequency, same frequency that's in me is in the other person.
All right.
You know, so yeah, it's
I like that. I like that. That's really beautiful. We're going to go for a quick music break. I hope that that was a good enough teaser to get you guys to listen in for the rest of the episode. This track is chosen by, oh, actually, I don't know if I mentioned from at the top of the show, we were listening to The Far Side, Passing Me By, which I think is a fairly well-known song, so it's okay if I didn't say it right away. But the next track we're going to listen to is by Rhapsody and Queen Latifah, and it's called, I might not be saying it right, but I think it's Hatshepsut.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even going to try.
But this was Fimo's choice, so it's not really my fault if I don't know how to say it.
I probably should know how to say the song, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens. Yeah. This is the culture we live in. Y'all, enjoy this. It is 11:15. If you needed a time check, enjoy.
Yeah. You telling me this,
telling me this,
you telling me that,
telling me
that. I promise
that.
Once you've been with me, baby, you'll never go back.
Never
Queens
go back.
Always have your back.
Always.
I'm thinking rebirth of flat.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw your face, I fell in love just
I
like
fell
that.
In love.
I know your burden gets bad. You taking care of my bags. We cry together, hold you down the days you're broken and sad. And I'ma always keep it real. No, I don't care if you mad.
I don't care.
I'm here to make you better. I'm just like Coretta, in fact. The only kings would understand just how that metaphor matched. Latifah's still a queen. I'm just trying to follow her path. A long walk to freedom when he fought through all of the wrath. I got a number if you want it. I got all of the math. All the hoodlums. I think all of us are good ones, St. Clair.
I see the God in you.
Even if we different than Claire.
Even if we different, though.
I know we all different when we paired.
We all
been through a lot. We got a lot still to repair.
We're working on it.
Did it all with love, God, and Jesus.
Amen.
World in his palms, Akeem still needed Lisa.
He needed her.
I hope he treats her better than Tommy Boy treated Keisha.
For sure.
You gotta love your queen, cause God knows that you need us real.
It's real.
U-N-I-T-Y.
Even living single, we connected by the tribe. Was raised by a queen. Know how to be one and love one and raise a king. When he told I the scribe how to love him. Queens come in all shapes and colors. Though we sit on thrones, we don't look down on each other. I learned how to rule from my mother and my auntie's. Got the blood of the Ashanti. I could be clear with Gandhi to protect mine. It's peace of mind. Word to Jersey, I'm a giant. A queen's pride stronger than all the lines. Connected by lines. Sisterhood. The day you try to test me, look on me, I wish you would. Open doors for the ladies as a queen like I should. That's why I'm Queen Latifah, every village and every hood. And I'm good in every city worldwide. And why I've been reigning for the last 25. So all hail to queens and the next ones to arrive. Came out of Jersey with naughty dudes and hella drive. Just another day above ground, working my thighs. We running it. Remember the days me and Pop, we had some fun with this. When I would bust you dead in your eye, that's called humbling. Been holding it torch, I don't fumble it. I'm a child of God versus sentiment. Telling them it's a clear shot to the top. And I ain't talking guns and gin. Just so all the queens know that every single one of them has a throne spot crown that I've been proud to rock. All my blood royal. And that's word to Lancelot. From the soil to the sun, you stunned. It ain't no shock, another black rain. Can't no water nourish the crop. That's why we flourish on top. Let's call us queens. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Hannah Ness, and I'm the Vice President of the McGill Savoy Society. We are McGill University's oldest theater and operetta society, having been founded in 1964. The McGill Savoy Society presents productions of the works of Arthur Sullivan and William S. Gilbert, two of the most prolific light opera composers of the 19th century. This year's show is The Gondoliers, a tale of two gondoliers who find out that one of them may perhaps be the missing monarch. In true Gilbert and Sullivan fashion, chaos and comedy ensue. Show dates are February 14th and 21st at 7:30 p.m. and February 15th and 22nd at 1:30 p.m. and 7:30 in the evening. The show is located in Moyes Hall in the Arts Building on McGill campus. Tickets are $15 for students, $20 for senior, and $25 for general audiences. Please check out our website, mcgillsavoy.ca, for ticket purchasing and more information. Thank you.
Enjoy. What up, what up, what up, y'all? You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is your host, Anik MF. You're tuned into It Could All Be So Simple, a show about everyday relationships with ourselves, our family, our people, and all of that good stuff. I'm here with Fimo Mitchell today. I'm so excited. We're talking about mindfulness meditation, his meditation center called We Are Home, and really about presence and being is kind of what we've uncovered in the last little segments. As I said earlier, the track that we played was from Rhapsody and Queen Latifah, a track called Hatsabeth, we believe. Is how you say it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we're going to go with. We're sticking to our story.
Yes.
So, Fimo, that kind of introduction was really beautiful. Thank you for that. And spurred a lot of questions inside of me. Before we get into that, though, can you tell me a little bit about how you ended up falling upon meditation? Would you make a difference between mindfulness and meditation? Can you describe that a little bit to us?
Oh, okay. How I first came across meditation, it was my second time in India, and a friend of mine had told me that I should go to an ashram in the south of India because he said he went there on his way to his honeymoon when he had a few days to spare, and he went there and he said, Fimo, it's all your people. Like, it's all people that want to like talk about peace and love and hug trees and stuff.
I like that.
He says, all your people, you really enjoy it. And then he told me, but there's one thing, you have to do yoga. And I had never done yoga before. And so I went, and the first day we had yoga, and that was intense. But before yoga, there's a thing called satsang where you chant in the morning. And before you start chanting, there's a period, 20 minutes of meditation. Now, for someone who's never meditated, 20 minutes is a lifetime. Mm-hmm. At that time, I never really sat cross-legged. That's not how I sat. And so to sit like that on like bamboo mats was really not comfortable. And you're in this big hall, like hundreds of people, and they're sitting there looking like monks. And luckily, there was a few people I looked around that were awkward like me that just weren't familiar with it. And I remember the Swami, who's like the leader, it's kind of like a Hindu priest. Mm-hmm. The Swami he says, now start, breathe in and breathe out and just watch your breath for the next 20 minutes or so.
What?
I didn't know, like, so I sat there, I said, man, 20 minutes, okay. After about 10 seconds, I was already thinking about how long it's going to last. It was tough. It was tough. Mm-hmm. Then I had to stretch out my legs. After about 5 minutes, I had to stretch my legs out. So I was moving. And the whole point of meditation is stillness in your body and eventually in the mind. There was nothing still about my first meditation or my second meditation or my third. You know, it was just, yeah, it wasn't great. But that's how I first got into it. At the end of my first time at the ashram, I only spent 2 weeks there. And the ashram, just to give you some information, you don't have your computer, your telephone and stuff like that. You're really just there, a place to study and practice. Mm-hmm. So this was like more yoga. So it's like yoga, meditation, chanting, and then there's a time to study. And so when I left, though, I did notice that I was a bit more calm. And I just felt very focused on different things. And I said, there was lectures in the afternoon, and I really enjoyed the lectures because I like information. And so they talked about meditation a lot, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to bring that back with me to China.
Okay.
So that's when I started, I think.
And that really sparked it.
I went back a second time the following year. I stayed for a month. And this time I was ready for the meditation.
You've been working out that mind.
Really?
I
came ready for the yoga and the meditation. Yeah, I really.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it well.
Yeah,
you
know how some people train to get beach ready for the summer? I trained to get ashram ready for the meditation.
I like that.
And the yoga session. I really was. I was training ready.
That's so funny.
And when I went back, I was like, this year I'm going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
But it was still hard. I can't lie. A month inside this place, yeah.
Well, you know, what you're bringing up, I feel like there's like a lot of different things that you hear when people hear the word meditation. So there's like some people who feel very drawn to it and it's like think that they should like kind of bring it into their practice, but might not and never like get to it. But it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that sounds like it would be a good thing for me. And then there's people who are like against it just for the sake of being against it. Right. But then there's other people who I feel like I fall in that middle area of just being like, I think that there's other ways for me to do what I'm hearing, like in a similar thing. So is it for you that stillness and, you know, how you were talking about like this silence and, the stillness being kind of important to your practice, do you think it's essential or are there other forms of, practice that like get to that? Cause like for myself, I'm a dancer. It's like, I feel like the only time that I have a still mind is when I'm really in the middle of my dance. Right. Right? Yeah.
And just, I'll answer your question, but I'm curious cause I think it's beautiful. When you're dancing, where is your mind at that point?
I don't even know. Right. I don't even know.
You're just living movement. You're just in.
And I can tell the difference when I'm having a hard time connecting to dance. Like there's moments where there's like dance where it's like, you know, like there's like the show off dancing, but like, oh, I'm trying to like get attention or like performing in a type of way. And then there's dance that like sometimes it's been a minute since I danced. And so I like getting, you know, how you were describing like having a hard time sitting and et cetera. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it'll take me a minute to get into the flow of it. But then when I'm in the flow, I don't even know who I am. Like literally, like there's no sense of this being is not, you know, like
something takes over.
Something takes over.
Right. Right. I think athletes talk about that. Like I went to McGill a few weeks ago and worked, did a session with the men and women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. And we talked about just being locked in sports. We say being locked in, you know, cause they admitted that, yeah, during the game, sometimes their mind will go somewhere else. And you know, that's when, I remember learning how to box. If you do that when you're boxing, it's a knockout. You know, like it really. I've said this before. I think boxing, it was like the first sport where I was like, this is serious meditation.
Mm.
You know, all that to say that I think that there's many kinds of contemplative practices that someone can incorporate in their life to foster more presence and to sort of come home to themselves and to, you know, the world that they find themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's many practice. I don't think there's one way. I don't believe in just one specific way. I will say, I think there's something to be said about being able to sit and know that it's not comfortable, because one of the things we do as human beings is we have two responses to almost everything. You know, either that person just said something that I really like. Oh, you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit of craving to that. You want to hear that again. You hope to experience that again. Someone just did something you didn't like. There's aversion. There's, you want to push it away.
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciously, we tend to go through our days as human beings, either pulling, clinging to something that we find desirable, something that we enjoy, or pushing something away that we find undesirable, we're reacting to stimuli in our environment throughout the day. We're reacting. Whether we know it or not, we're constantly reacting. And on an unconscious level, that builds up a lot of stuff within us. We won't give it a word. It just builds up a lot of stuff over the years. And sometimes you're in a space, you're like, what? Why did I react that way? It's stuff that's built up from years.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's something to be said about sitting and saying, I'm going to be with all that stuff and see, can that stuff rise up and see, can I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can do mindful washing of dishes and it's wonderful. Dancing, playing a sport, playing the piano. You can do, there's many ways to practice mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And mindfulness just is really, it's just a question of being present in the here and now without judgment with what is happening, you know? And so, there's many types of meditation as well, right? You can meditate on a symbol. You can do like visualization. There's many types of meditation. I like, and I enjoy them all, but I do enjoy mindfulness and I do focus on mindfulness more It's because with visualization, you're creating something. You're asking your mind to create something. But with mindfulness, you're just observing what's there, what's alive in you in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not comfortable to sit for 20, 30 minutes, an hour. I remember the first time I sat for an hour straight, there's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be with the pain? You know, and it seems silly. Well, why do I need to be with the pain? Because in life, you're going to have things that you might not enjoy so much. But can you observe it and know that even that pain in your knee or in your hips, it's a sensation that's going to rise and then eventually fall away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stay forever. And all these things you start realizing are just sensations. And I think there's something that happens when you can sit and notice that it's all just sensations. And not to necessarily cling or push anything away super. And if you are, know that you're doing it. You know, just a bit more consciousness about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long way to answer your question. I do think that there's many ways, like, you know, like dance, whatever a person chooses to do. Like, I like mindful walking. And with people, when I was with students, young kids, I normally start with mindful walking and mindful eating, things that they can move and do something.
Yeah.
I won't just sit them down the first time because for some people it might be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, I like to get to a place where you can sit.
Yeah.
Because can you be still? You
mm-hmm.
know? Because some people are like, oh, well, my mind has to go. So your mind is telling you what, think of when we say that. Like that. I mean, because your mind is going to always produce thoughts.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the mind. And what happens when someone chooses to meditate? The mind fires off thoughts.
Yeah.
And then people say, oh, it's so hard, or I'm not doing it well.
Yeah.
Because I think we're over-identified with the mind. You know, we don't have the same identification with our big toe. Our toe is doing the same thing it's doing right now.
Yeah, for sure.
When we meditate, our heart's still beating. We don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with the nervous system doing all of what it needs to do.
Uh-huh.
But, oh.
I mean, what about your digestive system? I'm always thinking about my digestive system.
But no one has a problem with, yeah, like, if you're meditating, sure. What bothers people
mm-hmm.
is not being able to stop the thoughts.
Yeah.
And they think they need to stop the thoughts. And that's what bothers people. Fundamentally, when I ask people, well, what's the... I just, you know, like, I have attention deficit, you know, like, I can't focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll work bit by bit.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I think that there's also, like, and this is one of the things that happens when there's certain, like, health and wellness practices that become very, like, socially popular.
Mm.
I think that there's this idea that, like, to meditate well means that you sit there and then all of a sudden your brain, like, immediately turns off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know what people, like, the imagine, it's like, it's yeah. just everything's white.
Yeah.
All, you know, like, I yeah. think that that's kind of what people anticipate.
Mm.
And so when they don't feel that or deliver
right.
that.
They think they're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people tell me they're doing it wrong. Like, they don't think. I'm like, have you meditated? Yeah, but I didn't do it well, or I wasn't good at it. How can you not be good? And what it is exactly what you said. We have this understanding that, like, it's almost like you have to, you know, like, empty your mind. I've heard people say, yeah, I just need to empty my mind.
Mm. Well,
good luck. Good luck in doing that. I don't know why you would want to, you know, but I always tell people it's kind of like if you lie on your back on an open field. And you just look up at the sky and you see passing clouds. And you just notice them. You observe them. And if there's a cloud that you really fancy, know that you want to get caught up with that cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And the clouds are like thoughts. And so if you choose to go with one thought, go with it. But know that you're going with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just you're kind of like a witness through the whole process. Which then begs the question, well, so you're not your thoughts then, because you're witnessing your thoughts.
Mm.
And so that's, you know, that's when you get into, like, you know, philosophical. I don't, to me, it's not really philosophical, but some people might look at it that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's just a question of just maybe try it and see what happens. But we have this thing about Zen here.
Mm-hmm.
And we totally use the word incorrectly. Right? We're like, oh, I feel so Zen, or that's so Zen,
uh-huh.
like meaning so calm and tranquil
mm-hmm.
and peaceful. But Zen, like fundamentally means like right action in the right moment. It might not always be peaceful.
Okay.
Like you might have a Zen monk that might feel in this moment, I'll slap you. You know, like
monks be out here slapping people. I didn't know that.
Who came up with Kung Fu?
True that, true that.
You know, I always tell people, like, one of my close friends in China, he's from Atlanta. He's a Kung Fu master. And he's always say, when I talk about monks, he's like, you do realize they created Kung Fu.
I like that.
So I always say, I believe in peace. It's almost, you always champion peace, but you hope that you never have to do something else. But if mm-hmm. that moment you feel this is the right action, that's a very Zen thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, yeah. in my awareness, I feel the right action is, that's very Zen.
Yeah.
And people might see that as being violent, yeah, but actually exactly. it's quite Zen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think here I find it interesting the...
Well, I think that's what happens when anyone takes like bits and pieces of culture and it becomes popular and et cetera without like
right.
a deeper understanding of what that actually really is.
Yeah. Like no one says namaste in the ashram. Like when you're doing yoga, uh-huh. I thought I was going to hear a namaste.
Yeah. It's not actually.
Om Namah Shivaya. I was like, Om Namah. Om Namah Shivaya. I'm like, wait a minute.
You're like, no. I heard in my yoga video.
Yeah. I had never done yoga here, but I heard.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's so popular for sure.
So popular, right?
Like people, whether they have the t-shirts. This is one thing I love about Black people. They always try to turn people's things around. So they say, nah, I'ma stay. Instead of nah.
That's a good one. Nah,
I like that.
I was disappointed though when I did hear namaste. I can't even lie. I was
ready for that one.
Yeah.
That's so funny. You like to be prepared. You briefly talked about our community earlier. And I feel like for listeners who might not know what you mean by our community, what is it? Is there, like, I know that you work with like a large diversity
right.
of people,
yeah.
but is there something that you're trying to bring into Montreal at this moment in your work? And like, kind of where's your mind at these days?
Well, yeah, I think I want to, I hope to sit with people of all ages and all racial, ethnic, cultural background. You know, our sexual orientation or gender, like everyone. As long as when I close my eyes to meditate with you, you don't try to harm me, we're good. You know, we're good. Because I still haven't mastered the art of, you know how yoga instructors walk around and sort of, they don't necessarily do the poses while they're teaching.
Mm.
I like to actually meditate with, like while I'm guiding, I like to meditate as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes are closed. Like you could be doing all
all kinds of things, making funny faces and everything.
If I know I have some wild kids, I might peek a little bit. If I know I got some wild kids.
I would be that wild kid. I'd be like, is he watching? I'm going to stick my tongue out.
I keep them right in the front. So I know, bring them right in the front, you know? But that's for sure. Like that's what I, you know, I'm ready to go anywhere. Like I've gone to prep school in Westmount, to, you know, McGill, to adult school in LaSalle. Like, I'll go anywhere. Next week, I'll be at Youth in Motion.
Awesome. Shout out to Youth in Motion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a special place. I remember going there in the 90s, late 90s, when I was a university student. So it is special to be able to share with boys that look like me, that remind me of myself. Because I remember being a Black kid growing up in the city, and at times not, like I used to fight a lot in primary school and not knowing how to deal with that anger and not having a way of really leaning into the anger. Like the idea of leaning into anger was foreign to me. And so, yeah, there's a special place when I think about my community. I think in particular Black boys, Black men. And I don't want people to be like, he doesn't want to work with, I want to work with everybody.
Mm-hmm,
but there's something special about knowing I know Black men, Black boys, there's a special closeness there, obviously.
Yeah, and I feel like that also just from the lack of Black male role models, that in the public eye, like I think we do have a lot of Black male role models in our homes and et cetera, and they definitely don't get as much hype as they should. But it's always good when there's like one who... for whatever, if it's because of practice or et cetera, who has the mobility to be able to be in different types of spaces. I think it's really great that you're able to embody that in some way.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think, I mean, even when I was at university and running track at the school and trying to work, I still was a big brother in the Black Star Project, which I forgot. Michael Buffo, he's out west. He's in the prairies now doing big things. But he was the director of Black Star Project. Great project. My little brother, I'm still, like, I went out to Calgary to see him. He's now 32.
He ain't little that much anymore.
No, but that relationship is still there. There's still a brotherhood. Like, he's looking out for me. I'm in Calgary. I'm in his home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I met him when he was 11 years old.
That's dope.
And so I've always had that desire because I, you know, I have a father, and I saw the kids on my street that didn't have a father. And it's not that this is, no, I know it's always touchy when you're like, well, it's not to say a Black woman can't do it, but there is something to be said. I'm sure if we even look at boys, Black boys that grow up with Black fathers, and you look, I think we might see something there. You know, there's something, you need that sort of male influence that, I love my mother, but I always say I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not take anything away from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My father, you know, it's a special relationship because he understands. He sat me down when I was very young and told me, listen, I remember he gave me an article in the Montreal Gazette. It was about Charles Barkley, at a time when Charles Barkley was huge. And I was maybe 8, 9 years old. And he was like, what's in this article? He was talking about stereotypes. That's how, you see how they see the Black man? The Black man, they want to make you out to be this big beast who's not very intelligent, who's not very articulate, who's not. And so understanding at a young age, understanding how I'm seen, you know, how I will be seen in the different traps. That's the sort of stuff that has guided. I've been to, I don't know how many countries around the world, been in a lot of different situations, but some of those teachings always help, you know? And so I know that I can impart that with the next generation. And that's why it was important for me to be a big brother. And I encourage other Black men to, figure out ways to contribute as well. Because, like I said, sisters do amazing things as mothers. Like, I have 4 sisters. They're amazing moms. But let's not forget that, by saying that dads are important doesn't mean that the mom is not doing her job. That's why I want to make sure that's clear. I know how things can get twisted now. I don't want to get canceled.
I think cancel culture has been canceled. It's true. I think that people are moving away from that in general.
I don't want to, you know, FEMO says that Black mothers aren't doing a good job. No. Considering what they have to go against, they're doing a great job. I just think.
I mean, a healthy home is a healthy home, right? Like, at the end of the day. So it's like always, I think that when we think of like the people who influence our children, whether that be inside of our home or outside of our homes, it's always important to have someone that reflects you in some kind of way, you know? So I think it's always good to have, like, for myself raising a young Black boy, like, I think it's just important to have role models that he can see himself as, because I know that was important for me, whether or not, like, the actual, you know, like, I don't do womanhood in any way that my mom does it at all, but just to see myself in different spaces in the world. We're coming to the end of the time that you have available for
us.
Yes. So do you want to give us a quick rundown of how to find you, what you offer these days, and all of that information?
Well, I'm on Facebook. Well, let's just say I'm on everything that Zuckerberg owns. So that's Facebook.
My brain had to be like, what does that mean?
Instagram. I think he owns WhatsApp too, does he?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not in people's business like that.
So, FIMO Mitchell, FIMO. Mitchell, it's 2 L's. Only in Montreal do people think it's 1 L. I don't know.
Michel.
But if it's Mitchell, there's a T there. But hey, but I've seen that time and time again. How do you spell Mitchell? It's never a question when I go anywhere else in Canada or the U.S. Never a question. Is it Mitchell?
I mean, it's a bilingual thing. I think that's just, you know, when you're working with several languages, that's what happens. You know, I get several different writings of Anik. It's special.
Yeah, yeah, that can definitely happen. Well, at least that makes sense because it's all Anik,
yeah.
Right? Like if I spell it with a C-K or if I spell it with a Q-U-E, it's all Anik. But Mitchell and Michelle is completely different.
Okay. I'll let you. It's your name. You got it. You feel however you want to feel about it.
Completely different. but on Facebook and Instagram, yeah. And for information, you can call me. I answer my phone sometimes at 438.
You're out here giving your number on
836-1590.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna let you re-say it, but that is definitely like the difference between a male and a woman. Like, I feel like myself, I would just not, unless it's like a business phone, I would just, my number would never be out there. Oh, but all right, Fimo, can you say your number again for people to hear?
It's 438, that's the new area code. 836-1590. I'm so happy to have a Montreal number, you know, so. Yeah, that's the number.
That's the number. And then We Are Home, what kind of services do you offer, how often, et cetera?
Yes, we group sessions every Saturday, 1 or 3 p.m. Call first to reserve a cushion. And private sessions are available. You have to call or message me on Facebook or Instagram. And there's really special, there's sessions for parents and kids. The child should be at least five. I do have workbooks for kids, pre-K all the way to grade five. So one of my favorite sessions ever is with parents and children together. It's just beautiful to watch. I did open my eyes for that, to watch the parent and child meditate together. That
That's
was beautiful.
Really cool.
And I always say, I wish I had a camera for that. You know, it's such a beautiful moment. So for parents, and children, come on, and I invite you to come and join me. I'm excited. On next week during Reading Week, mm-hmm. there's a mom that got in touch with me, and she's going to bring her three kids.
Oh, that's so dope.
We got a session next week, Wednesday, I think it is. Oh, the following Wednesday.
Okay.
It's the first week of March is Reading Week.
March break for the younger ones.
For the younger ones, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting, and I really want to do more of that, parents and kids together. Why not?
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much, Fimo, for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm going to just put some music on and I'll talk to you guys later.
Everything I touch will turn to gold. 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 And it's okay, say what you gotta say, 'cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know. Everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say, 'cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold, will turn to gold. To go.
go.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Anika MF. You're listening to It Could All Be So Simple, a show about everyday relationships with ourselves, our family, our partners, all our people, pretty much. We were just tuned into a track from Aza called Turn to Gold. Aza is a good friend of mine, a Montrealer who's doing big things in Toronto right now. That's a track that you can get on Spotify as well as probably, you know, all the typical music platforms. So definitely go check that out. We had Fimo Mitchell in the studio today talking about mindfulness and meditation and his meditation center called We Are Home. Again, if you want to get in contact with Fimo, be sure to find him on Instagram or Facebook or I think those were the main ones. Fimo, so F-I-M-O, Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. That's pretty much all I got to say for today. I'm not a very meditative or mindful person in general, so I don't want to start talking about it because I don't really know what's up. But I do know that that if that's something that you're interested in and particularly interested in from diverse practitioners, Fimo's a black man who is very proud to be holding his culture as well in his practice. So definitely go check him out. And then for the rest of us, we're just going to listen to some phony people called Why I Love the Moon. And then I have a couple other tracks for you guys. I might come back in just to give you the names of the tracks that I decided to put on. Enjoy your day, everyone. It is 11:50 and you're tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM.
That's why I love the moon. Every night it's there for you. It's constant, unlike these human beings who lie about what it seems to be. You think the earth is where you said. Why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every night above my window, and that's why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every single night I look outside, right there for me and my mind, and that's why I love the moon, yeah. Because people can consume my love in the wrong way, so I send it up at night, at night, at night. Love so hard to find. Just when you think you found it, he knows it's in your eyes, it blinds. So be careful where you look for love. Just be careful where you look for love. Real love so hard to find. Just when you think you found it, the illusions in your eyes, it blinds us all. So be careful where you look for love. Just be careful where you look for love.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's why I let the moon shine, 'cause through the time I've been confused on how to move right.
Stuck in between what was and what could be the truth, huh?
Still not trying to escape the demons in my hood.
You see, it's no change, try to relearn and maintain. Yuffin, and how could anybody else complain when they brainwashes and watches every time we make exchanges with slaves? Locked in a box and use our projects to escape all the same. I'm tired of the pain, love is blind to the flame. That's why I look up, never hide behind the skies and the rain. Promises come up, exercise and don't deny you the pain. That's why I look for ways to find whatever lies in the rain. This shit changed. I don't blame my father for lamping, I believe that help. With me trying to grow, it's just feeling trying to grow as myself. So understand it when I'm stranded, taking chances, know I need that. Fall flat on my back, cause just relax and keep your seat back. Cause when you think, that's when you let time run and escape with your mind. Loving, that's what you think. So what you think? If love was easy to find, we wouldn't need it to complete our lives. So,
peace to the moon, peace to stars, peace to Saturn, and peace to Mars.
How did you see me? How did you love me? How do you remember me? I'm a romantic nightingale. I hope the darkness keeps you well. When I can't fall asleep at night, I blindly taught myself to fight. Oh, shadow man, shadow box, please keep your hands up. And if you get knocked down, don't forget to stand up. Bless the night and begin on God. Darkness keep you well. Bless the night and begin. Darkness keep you well.
Shadow man, shadow box, dance in the dark with me. This resurrected agony, this apathy for caskets. Everything I ever loved, I lost in the magic. I played by the river, my body delivered. When I die, it's 27 rappers at my funeral. Moses wrote my name in gold and Kanye did the eulogy. Remember all the bashfulness, understand the truancy. Yeah, I stand in front of a college dropout, but her music was a church when your spirit hopped out. Met a gypsy in the lane, she reading my palm tree. Mysterious situation like kissing the concrete. I eat getting money, I be close to heaven. Baby, claim he love me, hold me down forever. I never should have bought this halo. He waiting for me at his table. My funeral with Disney fable, cause the king about to take me home.
Preach church, tabernacle, Tallahassee sunshine. Southern is my bloodline, we know it'll come time to go. And though I leave like alumni, I'm lying like a lullaby and quiet like my tongue tight, alone. Bury me in satin, tell the pastor, say this ashes, I'm in class with you, ooh, first row. And if ashes turn to ashes, then I'm back in my first form with a dust storm, with a corn and coat. Morbid or late, Lord give, Lord take. Viva la morte, mortal man. Less love, more hate, more like mortician. We meet our fate, funeral home looking like a home that I used to live in. You wasn't supposed to go so soon, I took it for granted. Maybe we'll meet the next life, maybe another planet. Open my soul, but then it'll end with an open casket.
Tippy toe on a tightrope. Leaning on green, every go be a dice roll. I'm fiending the feline, who mindset the fiendy. I got two packs foods. Gold on my gun, I done got rich out. My tongue sticky, throwing the tightrope. Cleaning my grievances, as a heathen. I sat like a legion shout. Never believed in y'all. System, I needed more. And I done went figured over with the finger roll. Landed wrong, split my head and start leaking songs in the words. Shit, them words, they make a nigga live forever. Black with them birds, my heart stay lighter than the feather. It's gonna be niggas booming at my funeral. Tell them play Metro booming at my funeral. St. Louis taught me death could be your neighbor. Stay awake, don't take the family for granted. Better days away.
Bless the night again, darkness keep you away.
You're tuned to Butcher T's Noontime Cuts, hitting every Friday from noon to 2, playing you a wide variety of music just to make your afternoon delight just right. So stay locked to CKT 90.3 FM.
Stick by my side even when the world is giving up.